Rutherford Issues. Nobody covers Rutherford County better than WGNS. WGNS. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and TV 11.
Welcome back into the program. Brian Barrett along with you on this Tuesday afternoon. 65 degrees, cloudy skies, some rain in the area. Going to be a messy commute home this afternoon. Speaking of what could be messy, I guess, anytime we're talking about Medicare and Congress taking a look at that, it could become very messy at times. We've got former Congressman Ron Klink, former representative there in the Pennsylvania area, joining us. And there are some proposed changes to Medicare Part D, and we're going to talk about those and explore that here this afternoon. Congressman, how are you?
Hey, Brian, it's good to be with you. How's everything going down there in Rutherford?
It is going great, and I understand that you have a little radio background yourself, too, huh?
Yeah, I actually started as a broadcaster back in Ohio and Pennsylvania back in the late 60s, early 70s. I went into television. Then when I swore off microphones, I came to Congress.
Boy, it sounds like you just have a bad choice of professions, huh?
That's exactly right. I'm now at the tail end of a misspent life. I don't know.
Well, tell us about some of these proposed changes to Medicare Part D and what it would mean for the folks here in Rutherford County and across the state of Tennessee and the country.
Well, Tennessee would be hit pretty hard, and a lot of your listeners would be hit very hard. You know, the thing about America, we have between Social Security and Medicare made a promise to our mothers and fathers and our grandparents that the working generation was going to work to take care of them. We didn't want to, like the old days back in the 1800s and early 1900s, we didn't want to have to send our relatives into poorhouses and have them give up everything. So we developed these programs. And a few years ago, my Republican colleagues came up with this idea of Medicare Part D that was a prescription drug benefit. And I must admit, I had some doubts about whether or not it would work, but they have proven me wrong. The program works very, very well. In fact, there in Tennessee, 87% of your senior citizens have prescription drug coverage as of this year, and 64% of them are covered by Medicare Part D. In addition to that, almost half of your senior citizens in Tennessee, 45% to be exact, also receive what they call low-income subsidy. That is their Medicaid qualifiers. Now, when you're on Medicare and you qualify for Medicaid, you're called dual eligible. Well, the federal government's now getting this idea that they want to put a surcharge on the drug companies for serving the poorest of the elderly population. It makes no sense. And this would amount to just billions of dollars, probably about $135 billion over 10 years. And that cost would have to be shifted. It would be shifted to the users, to their families. It would be shifted to anybody out there that would pay. It's just a shifting of dollars. Mm-hmm. It is not, in fact, any genuine savings except to only the federal government. What it would mean would really wreck the system. It would, you know, we're on a cruise path now, and I know when I say this, you're probably too young to understand this, but there's a senior citizen say, well, you know what I don't like about Medicare is I've got this donut hole, and when I hit that donut hole, I've got a lot of out-of-pocket money, and I can see the heads in Tennessee shaking up and down.
Yes,
yeah, we know.
Uh-huh.
We're on a glide path right now because of Medicare Part D to close that donut hole. And we're making great strides, and by the end of this decade, it will be gone. This eliminates the ability to do that. We are, as a country, because of Medicare Part D, able now to keep our senior citizens at home more often, to the tune of a savings of over $1,200 per year per senior citizen that we're saving off of nursing home costs and hospital costs. That is a savings of about $13.4 billion. That would be wiped out. The jobs in the pharmaceutical industry, the people that are out there inventing drugs to solve things like Alzheimer's and various forms of cancer and diabetes, that research would be drastically cut back. In some cases, it would be stopped. So there are a lot of us here, some of us members of Congress, some like me, former members. We are Republicans and we are Democrats. This is not a partisan issue. This is strictly an American issue. It is a responsibility issue. And we want the people of Tennessee to call your congressman and call your senators and say, don't mess with Medicare Part D. We want a prescription drug benefit. We've earned it. You've given it to us. It's working more efficiently than even Congress thought it would work. And we want this, we don't want you to fool with it, because only bad things happen when you fool with stuff in Washington, D.C.
So who is pushing this particular proposed, the proposed changes? Is it a certain party, or kind of give us some of that?
It's a little bit across the board. It's a so-called super committee, which I have, to tell you, I think is a bad idea from the beginning. And again, you've got Republicans and Democrats on both sides of that issue, too. You know, the so-called super committee has been tapped to come in and figure out where they're going to make cuts. Are they going to increase taxes? What are they going to do? One of the things, one of the proposals put out there, and the Obama administration has laid it out there, is to fool around with this Medicare Part D. And there are a lot of us on both sides of the aisle that just think this is the wrong way to go. This has been a big cost savings. We've seen, and I know you've seen it in Tennessee too. We've seen industries leaving our country. We don't want something which causes a great burden on taxpayers and on working families in order to continue to take care of our parents when this system is working very well.
Right. We are talking today to former Congressman Ron Klink, who is talking about some of the proposed changes to Medicare Part D and really the problems that it would cause here. You mentioned the savings, and I guess that's what Congress is looking at. Where can we save money? But you know, every time you save money someplace, that shifts the burden somewhere. And do you benefit from shifting that burden somewhere else? Would there not be more governmental agencies that would see an increase in elderly and senior citizens who needed prescription drugs and going to them rather than going to Medicare? I mean, it seems like it would be a wash either way with this.
Well, it's beyond a wash. Now, yeah. Here's the thing. This Medicare Part D, and this was you probably remember when they passed this, Congress held the vote open for 4 or 5 hours. This was a tough, tough vote. There were arms cracking to get people to vote the right way to pass this thing. And I got to admit, I was one of the doubters. I thought, boy, is this really going to work? But it has worked beyond anybody's imagination. I mentioned about the $1,200 per year that we're saving per senior citizen by keeping people out of hospitals because they have access to medicines because of this program, and they can adhere to the medical advice of their doctors. They're able to stay at home. Who doesn't want to stay at home versus being in a nursing home or hospital? So that's been that kind of savings. But even more important, Brian, is the fact that the cost of this program, Medicare Part D, is 44% lower than initial projections. That's how well it's working. I can't tell you, in all my years in Congress and all my years in broadcasting covering the government, when I've seen any program that was 44% less than projected. Hell, it's usually 44% more or more than that, more than projected. So this is how well this has worked. So you've got a group of congressmen, three senators from one party and three from the other, and three House members from one party and three from another. So there's 12 of these folks, and they're all good people. And we get them into a room, and we say, we're going to make you a super committee. And you have to figure out how to come up with at least $1.2 trillion to $4 trillion worth of savings. All they're looking at are cuts. They're not looking at the ramifications of those cuts.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've
got
one.
If you cut it here, then, as you said, you pass it off, and it's going to cost you more on the other side. Or it's going to cost us jobs. It could cost us 250,000 jobs in the pharmaceutical industry. All of a sudden, those taxpayers become tax recipients because they're on welfare.
It's $1.2 trillion that they're looking to cut here in the next few weeks. I think what the deadline is the 23rd to try to get something hammered out. And it just seems like, well, here's everything on the table. Where can we start cutting and slashing? And the argument, I guess, is, well, we're having to do that as Americans. Should Congress not have to do that as well? So,
and Congress should have to make those choices. But there are certain things that when you tweak with them, they are going to cause you more harm than good. And this is one of those things that long-term is going to cause much more harm. It is not just a straight nickel-and-dime deal. It's not just a straight... We're actually... When you take a look at the cost of this program, it's actually saving a lot of money, billions of dollars long-term, because we're helping people to manage their illness. We are creating employment by having a vivacious pharmaceutical industry. We are healing diseases across the gamut. There are, across the country right now, one of the things that has come up, Brian, is that there are 9 million labor union members that are parts of the labor union pension funds that they could end up, if this were to happen, they would not have access to these new life-saving drugs. Then they'd have to walk away from those. And then that same thing could happen to people in the private industry. So if we want to make sure that, first of all, the decisions are made are not, we used to say, penny wise and pound foolish. That is, it saves you a few cents on the front side but costs you dollars on the back side. And that's what we think would happen in this instance.
We are talking today to former Congressman Ron Klink from Pennsylvania about Medicare Part D and proposed changes in Congress and this super committee that's looking at $1.2 trillion in cuts and just looking for places, and that they have their scissors out. I've heard it said we have to reform Medicare to strengthen it. This really isn't a reform. This is just looking, well, here we can take a slice of the pie here, a slice of the pie there, and see if we can't come up with trimming $1.2 trillion. That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, exactly what's going to happen. So here's what's going to happen. You're going to, let's say that they do this, right? Now, what they're going to do is make these drugs cost about $135 billion more over the course of the next 10 years. Now, so either one of several things are going to happen or a blend of those things. Either the cost, that $135 billion, is going to have to be made up by the families and or the senior citizens who have to buy those drugs. Mm-hmm. So rather than having a program that works, we'll just pass the cost off to you and your family. That's going to happen. Or we'll just say to the drug companies, you're going to get $135 or some portion of that less for your drugs. Well, they're going to shut down facilities. They're going to move to work offshore. They're going to fire people who are doing research on new drugs. They are going to not be able to cure some diseases that otherwise they would if they had those resources. I mean, all of these things in some form are going to happen. And we're just saying, stop, wait a minute. This is you're starting to knock these dominoes down, and only bad things are going to happen. This program has worked far beyond anybody's imagination. And what we really need to do is have the listeners there to your radio station, the WGNS, to pick up the phone and to call their member of Congress. If you don't know the number, the main switchboard, I can give it to you. It's 202-225-3121. 202-225-3121. Ask for your member of Congress, ask for United States Senator, and tell them, look, we've worked for this. This is a program that's worked. Congress, in their wisdom, actually did something right. Don't mess with Medicare, and particularly don't mess with our Part D prescription drug benefit. Don't do that. It's too many bad things are going to happen if you do.
Our local congressman is Diane Black, by the way, and Lamar Alexander and Bob Corker, senators from Tennessee.
Talking, all very important people.
Yeah, very much so. Ron Klink is joining us, former congressman. You know, I heard on a lot of these Sunday talk shows this week that, you know, it's kind of a race against time, number one. But several of the comments were, we want to stimulate the economy. We need more revenue. We want to stimulate the economy to get more revenue in and grow the economy. Well, this sounds like it will have, it doesn't sound like by slashing Medicare or Medicaid Part D that this is going to help that at all. It's going to actually go the opposite way.
And the truth of the matter is, Brian, that there's two ways or a combination of two ways that you can approach this. And back in 1993, when I first got here, we did it. We drove the budget to balance. And by the year 2000, we actually had a surplus. And the way we did it was we cut spending dramatically, and we had to increase some taxes. Now, the other way that you can do it is to carry forward policies where you increase employment. If we were able to create jobs, and that's what this administration needed to be more focused on and needs to be more focused on, and so too do both parties in Congress. Let's create employment. Because if we can drive our unemployment rate, which is now hovering just over 9%, if we can drive it down to 7.5%, we don't have a budget deficit. We don't have a problem. Because all those people are paying payroll taxes into the government. They have jobs. And they're not tax recipients anymore. So that's the other way around this. This clearly is, on its face, the prima facie, it is a benefit. It's a health care benefit for senior citizens. But beyond that, this very much is a jobs issue. There's no question that there are, right now, 3.2 million Americans are directly employed in the pharmaceutical industry. I was a television news reporter in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for 14 years when the steel mills were shutting down, when the glass plants were shutting down, when textile mills were being shut down. And you could feel the depression in the air when tens of thousands of people are unemployed. And small businesses know it's over. And people know that their house has no value anymore because their community will fall apart. Industry is gone. We have to have a methodology in this country of supporting good American jobs and American-based industries while making good governance decisions at the same time. And that's why this whole issue of fooling with Medicare Part D is just too short-sighted. It maybe picks up a few pennies, but it's going to long-term cause a big crack in the system. It's going to hurt a lot of people across this nation.
Ron, in the last minute or so that we have here, one question I wanted to ask. Some have said this super committee is so dysfunctional, they're not going to come to an agreement anyway. What would you say, that we still need to call our congressman and senator?
Well, you do. You do. And so here's the way the system is set up. If I think, by the way, people that are saying that have a better than a 50-50 chance of being right. It's going to be very, very tough for these, you know, equal number of Republicans and Democrats from each house. And I will tell you, the funny thing we used to say in the House of Representatives when I was in Congress was, look, the Republicans are not the, we're almost Democrat. And we said, Republicans aren't the enemy, they're the opposition. The enemy is the Senate. So you have as much hard feelings between the two houses as you would certainly do between the parties. So the reality of this is, if they are unsuccessful, and I think it's very reasonable that they may not be able to get this done, then we go into something called sequestration, where automatic cuts take place. And you have to, again, talk to your member of Congress and say, look, you can't let these things impact our Medicare. You can't let these things impact our Social Security. You've made we've gone into retirement. We've worked our lives, our productive lives, and we have a pact with our country that it's time now for us to be able to enjoy our golden years. Don't renege on us. Don't take these things from us that are working for us and basically are working for the entire country. So either way, there's going to be bad choices. If the committee comes to some kind of an agreement, it's going to be some difficult choices either way. And if they don't, this process called sequestration could begin to set off some automatic cuts, some defense cuts, some in entitlement programs like Medicare and Social Security. So this is an ugly picture across the board. There are not a lot of good decisions to be made, I will tell you.
Again, the number 202-225-3121. That's to the switchboard, Congresswoman Dianne Black and Senators Lamar Alexander and Bob Corker represent our area. You can call that number and they can patch you through. Congressman Ron Klink, thanks for joining us today.
Brian, it has been a great time to be with you this afternoon on WGNS, and we wish the good people of Tennessee all the best.
Very good. Thanks again.
Take care.
Ron Klink joining us, former congressman from Pennsylvania, talking about proposed changes and this super committee looking at proposed changes to Medicare Part D, the prescription drug coverage that those who are on Medicare and have Part D have right now. So if you want that number again, 202-225-3121, that's to the switchboard at the United States Capitol. Back to wrap things up here in just a moment on Rutherford Issues.